Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Coltscast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Had a little bit of a layoff, some technical difficulties on my part, but hopefully that's all cleaned up now. We're all set to go. We're ready to continue these positional reviews going into the offseason here, talking about free agency a little bit, the Colts free agents themselves, what we see at the position and so on. We've done the quarterbacks and running backs, and now we're going to hit the tight ends, and then we're going to move on to the wide receivers. Looking at the tight end position, first, let's look over some news as of recent as well. The Colts did add two new faces to Frank Reich's coaching staff, bringing in Jason Michael as tight ends coach and Chris Strasser as the offensive line coach. Now, these are apparently two pretty popular hires, at least Strasser for sure. Strasser has 30 years in coaching, but like 2 years in the pros. Both of those were the last two seasons in Denver, and he was working as their offensive line slash tackles coach. Most of his time, in his coaching time, he'd been in various institutions, various levels of competition. So this guy's been around, right? Old timer almost. And it just has a lot of it going on. And if you saw Stephen Holder's tweet, he was talking to the offensive line coach of the Rams, and apparently the first thing he said to him was that they were, you know, they're going to love this guy, Strasser, that is, at the line position, or at the line coach for the Colts. Apparently there's a lot of mutual respect among other offensive line coaches with him, so that's pretty good. You can just see that he's seasoned. I mean, anybody who's teaching it for that long, you would have to assume had some gravitas almost with them. I don't know that it makes such a big deal that he's only got 2 years in the league in that regard. Now, if he was an offensive play, you know, designer or something of that sort, then that would be a much different story, in my opinion, or even defensive, you know, for that matter. But as an offensive line coach, I mean, you know, he did well in Denver, apparently, and was very good coming up through the ranks in college as well. The Colts also, like I said, added Jason Michael as tight ends coach. He, on the other hand, you know, kind of started back in like, what, 05 as a quality control coach with the Oakland Raiders, and he's held various offensive positions through his tenure as well ever since, from tight ends coach to quarterbacks coach. He was the most recently the tight ends coach with the Arizona Cardinals, but he also has a couple years of offensive coordinator experience as well, and those were with the Titans in 2014 and 15. So it kind of interesting here. Michael, right before Frank Reich became offensive coordinator there in San Diego, he was actually the quarterbacks coach, and Jason Michael was he and Reich overlapped 1 year there in their tenure in 2013. So they've got some familiarity, and this is just Frank Reich basically getting his staff together. This is, you know, the group he wanted. Josh Daniels hired, you know, Dave DeGuglielmo and, you know, some of the other guys on here, while Frank's just kind of getting his guys in order so that he basically feels a little more at home with that. Now, DeGuglielmo, you know, I mean, look, a lot of that came with Nelson. A lot of that came with a resurgence of Braden Smith. A lot of that came with a resurgence of Glowinski. A lot of good things happened on the offensive line this year for the Colts. But DeGuglielmo deserves a lot of credit for everything he did. Let's just hope that Strasser can match or be better than what we saw even last year. You know, it's nice to see that they've got some continuity. Also in the news that Glowinski did get an extension for 3 years, $18 million reportedly. That's good money for a guard, but that's not expensive at all for a guy like for Glowinski. I mean, Glowinski came in as basically a guy that we didn't even really know if he was going to have, you know, legit depth opportunities. We kind of all presumed that he was set to be a guy who might even be in risk of being cut in training camp. So he came along very nicely, obviously. How much that had to do with coaching or vice versa, you know, kind of hard to tell. But he definitely earned his extension, and that's good news for the Colts as well, to get that back, you know, kind of get that under wraps. And that, you know, they also signed Adam Vinatieri, or re-signed him. So that's nice too. Get a couple of guys out of the way right away, see what happens and breaks down with some of these other free agents and, you know, the guys on the roster and whether they stay or go or just whatever. So, and that's kind of the time that we're in for the season right now. This off season's coming up. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at all this, and now we're going to go into the tight ends here, and we're going to talk about the guys on the Colts roster right now. Okay, so we know that Jack Doyle's there. The Colts also have, you know, a couple of guys that, you know, did pretty well for themselves this year. I mean, Ryan Hewitt ended up being a very good blocker after a couple struggle games, you know, when he first was brought over. Obviously, Mo Alie-Cox got in, we saw this year, got a lot of playing time, I would say, for what we expected of him throughout the season. So he got himself some notoriety as well within the Colts. They really like him anyways. And of those, of him, Ebron, and Hewitt, he's the most probably naturally, I don't know, built and athletic at the same time. He showed off some of his skills this year as well. Obviously, the Colts have Eric Ebron in there as well. I mean, that's, you know, Hewitt's probably going to stick around as an H-back type guy, just what he did this past year. I don't think that the Colts really have anything to worry about with that. Are they going to find somebody, you know, maybe cheaper? I don't know. I mean, I don't think he gets paid very much anyway. So, I mean, when you're looking at that aspect of it, you would expect he'd want to come back and that the Colts would want him back. He did pretty stinking well for himself, and I think the Colts appreciated his ability to block. Really helped in the end, especially when Jack Doyle's out. So Jack Doyle, obviously, we've got him on the roster, and these guys are all safe for this year. None of these guys are free agents. They're all going into next year as rostered players. So we are kind of set in that regard with those guys. Obviously, Jack Doyle coming back into the mix leaves a, you know, a big plus for the Colts in both the run game and in the pass game. So, I mean, we know what he can offer. We know what Hewitt does, kind of specific. Eric Ebron, kind of the same thing, kind of specific. But in the opposite direction, obviously, of Hewitt. Mo Alie-Cox, a little bit of everything. Pretty good blocker. Showed off his athleticism, so that's good. He looks like he's going to possibly, if he continues at least on the same trajectory developing, that he could develop into a legit all-around tight end. So I don't see the Colts really having too many needs here. Now, looking at that and taking all of that in, we've also got one free agent for the Colts now. So the Colts have one free agent at the tight end position. That's Ross Travis. He's definitely going to be, you know, pending his health and his knee and how everything shook out for him, he's definitely going to be, in my opinion, a guy that you would want to re-sign. Cheap, very little in the league. I think the Colts want to wrap him in and kind of make sure that he is at least there in camp, because he is one of those guys. We've talked and heard Chris Ballard talk about this all the time. Ballard wants guys who are going to make the team better and how they practice, play, all that good stuff. Well, definitely, without question, Ross Travis is one of those guys. He is a guy that a lot of us loved going into the season. He's got a lot of length. He's got speed. He can catch. He is a real threat. Now, I think you resign him as soon as possible. I mean, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but I think that that's something that you need to do, because that is a guaranteed additional piece of depth immediately that is familiar with what's going on in training camp. So then you're looking at, what, five tight ends already that you have on the roster who could legit make the roster all in camp before the offseason even goes anywhere. If, you know, is Ross Travis one of those guys that you fret losing? I mean, that is something that I don't think too many people do. I mean, that just doesn't seem reality, like reality, though, at the same time. On the other hand, that is a guy that you kind of want to, you know, take a real hard look at as you're heading into everything going on, and you want to make sure that, look, if that's a guy that we can bring in and keep here, we've got all this working towards him, he's got all of it working towards his goals, then maybe. If you think that the injury is too much of an issue, then you may not really worry about it all that much. Although that does help the price point, doesn't it? So you want to look at a couple different things. I think that he's a guy worth keeping in. I just think even if it's young, kind of inexperienced in terms of the actual games, NFL game-wise, then I think that that's a guy that you really strongly consider trying to re-sign as quickly as possible, kind of get him off the street as long as you feel that his health risks don't outweigh the positive he can bring both physically, athletically, and everything else on the field. So I just think that that could, again, going to next season, just with a simple re-signing of Travis, be that the tight ends have one of the strongest tight end groups in the NFL again. I think all the way around, you've got everything you need there. You've got nothing but catching, you know, with Ebron. You've got catching and blocking with Jack Doyle. You've got catching and blocking with Mo'Ali Cox, though you've got the inexperience. And you've also obviously got nothing but catching basically from Eric Ebron. And then you've got a guy with Ross Travis who's kind of, you know, a little bit of both worlds and not a great blocker, but can do it and is big enough and physical enough to do it. So I think that there's a lot of things that you are happy about going into next season for the Colts and the tight end position. So real quick, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into some of the free agents that we see out and about at the position, see if they may be worth a bring in. So we'll be right back after this. All right, guys, we're back. We're going to talk briefly about who we see out on the free agent market right now at tight end, and is there anything, any worth in looking at any of those guys? Look, we just finished talking about with a simple addition of Ross Travis as in signing before, and he is a restricted free agent, by the way, too. So the Colts have rights to his contract first. It's not that he would be able to even hit the streets until the Colts either just decide not to do it or, you know, basically want somebody else to have to match what they got, which is also a possibility. So looking at the field here, you've got some interesting names. You've got a little bit of everything here. But if you're going to the free agency well, you're looking for production. You're looking for age. You're looking for health. You're looking for everything, you know, kind of all in the basket here as to what you really want to get. Look, the Colts are deep. Do they want to go spend money, like legit money, on a guy who's going to come in and not be much more than a role player? I mean, look, you've got Jack Doyle. You've got Eric Ebron. And like I said, the depth behind those guys is potent. It's there. And the Colts like them and know what they've got. You're going to bring in a guy who could probably not produce much more than what they're already going to get from the rest of their field and pay that money. Doesn't sound like Chris Ballard's kind of style to me just off the top of my head. But let's look at some of these names, okay? Jared Cook, by far the most productive last season, nearly 900 yards, almost 70 catches and 6 scores. He's going to cost some money. He's 32 years old. Forget it. Not happening. CJ Azuma, next guy on the line in terms of production out of Cincinnati. He's only 26, took more snaps even than Jared Cook last year, but had a production of only 439 yards on 43 catches and 3 scores. That's a guy who's a role player. If you could get him at role playing cost, maybe it's worth it. You bring an extra guy in to camp and maybe try to push out the weakest one after that, which you don't really know who that is. I mean, maybe the Colts don't like Ryan Hewitt as much as they like the double ability, or the dual ability, I guess I should say, of maybe a Mo'Ali Cox who can do both. So you don't have to have Ryan Hewitt in there. It makes your offense less predictable when you've got Mo'Ali Cox back there who can do that. And then you bring in a guy like CJ Azuma or Zomo and try to work that in. I don't know that that's really his style either. He did play all 16 games last year, though, and like I said, he's young, productive, would probably be reasonable in terms of, you know, cash value, what you're going to pay him. That might be the guy that I would probably most likely be to suggest. But you've also got Jesse James, who's only 25, out of Pittsburgh. He was a little more productive per catch, only had 2 touchdowns and 30 receptions last year, and was under 600 snaps too. So I mean, you look at him production value, maybe a little more bang for your buck, but it's still going to be a guy who's going to be working in a rotation and isn't probably going to get any more than that either. So you look at what, you know, 14 yards a catch, that's, I'm pretty sure that's best among these tight ends. That maybe that's a route you go, maybe even a little cheaper than Uzoma. So possibility there. You got Ben Watson, 38, you know, Ricky Seals-Jones, Not real productive, especially per catch. Only one score last year. Gates is a free agent. We know better than to think him. He's almost 40 years old. And then you've got a bunch of guys after that that didn't even get to the, you know, only one, Jeff Howerman, got to the 30 catch mark, but none of them got to the 300 yard mark. So most of those guys were under 10 yards per catch. A couple of them. Eifert is also a guy you could look at, but, you know, been injured and is just going to continue to be. I don't think that's anywhere near worth the risk, especially if he's going to cost anything at all. So there's some other guys in here. Max Williams, Logan Paulson, obviously age is a factor with Paulson. I mean, a bunch of little role-playing tight ends. And I don't mean little as in they can't make an impact. I just don't think that any of those guys, and I'll just take all of them, the whole shebang of the free agency class at tight end, I don't see the upside to doing any of that if you can get a tight end even in the draft. And I mean, if you think that there's a deep tight end class, you don't even consider free agency, in my opinion, if you're Chris Ballard. Going into all of everything that they have to do this offseason, he's not going to waste money on somebody he can get on a rookie contract that may not be any worse than anybody in free agency, and it could possibly be better. I just don't see this is one of those positions that just kind of seems to be mostly off the table. Literally one move could put you deep at the position going into training camp right now. And even a tertiary move, like I said, a Ross Travis, if you want to do him before you kind of feed him to the free agency pool, or you grab a tight end. You know, one move in this offseason really puts the Colts darn close to as deep as they're probably going to be in training camp. Six tight ends, maybe something like that, is about all that they're going to end up having in there. So I think that right now the Colts are set. I think that they look really good going into next year. But, you know, I kind of ponder, even as the Colts look at all of this, does Jack Doyle become maybe trade bait at this point? But with the Colts having the money they've got and everything else going on, it just, you know, is he productive enough that to where you don't feel like some of the younger guys coming up could equal that production as a group? I don't think that that's necessarily to that point yet, because I think Jack Doyle is a very important piece, and he's also one of Andrew Luck's favorite targets. But it's something you're going to want to consider a possibility fairly soon. Ballard is building this roster, and he's not stopping for anybody. So he's going to hang on to the guys who are still productive, can still make the team better, and are still very familiarized with Andrew Luck in this offense and Frank Reich's offense, obviously. But at some point, players are going to go. So it kind of something that I've just been thinking about recently, actually, if that's something they want to do. But right now, as it stands, the Colts go into training camp with a really deep tight end class, a really productive group, and a group that's really growing up. Some of the young guys really growing up. So it'll be an interesting position to see, but I just don't see a lot happening this offseason there. So we're going to move on to the wide receivers next, and we will see you guys tomorrow right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.